What's up, everyone? It's Michael Scotto, HoopsHype.com's NBA writer and host of the Hoops Hype podcast. On today's episode, I'll preview the offseason ahead for the Brooklyn Nets and drop some intel I've heard around the team alongside one of my favorite guys in the business. He's New York Daily News beat writer Christian Winfield, who just spent the past season covering the Brooklyn Nets. Christian, it was certainly a whirlwind, a roller coaster, a tornado in the Midwest. It was a lot of different things this season. You know, we're recording this right now. It's late. It's about 12:45 in the morning. You know, you've cranked out a couple of stories for the Daily News on this final game here, the eulogy, if you will, for the Brooklyn Nets, and a little bit of what's ahead on the offseason. What's going through your mind right now?
Man, what isn't going through my mind? I mean, part of it is you really hate to see it, right? With a team that started with such high expectations. I mean, you really hate to see it for Kevin Durant. I mean, at the beginning of the year, we're talking about him as the best player on the planet. And for the best player on the planet to then go out the fashion that he went out, 0-4 sweep in the first round against the Celtics, it's just tough to see. And it was tough to see him struggle against that Celtics defense. But, I mean, part of you is looking forward as to, you know, what can come next, whether this team needs to make improvements, whether they actually already just have the pieces and just need some time, right? Because that's something they didn't have all season. These guys, you know, Ben Simmons was thinking about playing and he's never played with any of the rotation guys, you know? So it's been that type of season for them. But then you're also looking at the stuff that happened. I mean, you had COVID, you had Kyrie not even getting vaccinated, obviously, and he's not part of the rotation. You got James Harden forcing his way out. That's really the biggest what if. What if James Harden stays, right? Like, it's, we can get into it all, man, but it's a whole lot to process in one night, and that's kind of what the next season has been like on a day-to-day basis.
We have the tea, folks. I don't know what flavors you like, if you like apple cinnamon, if you like anything else, but we've got some tea.
Oh, man. You know, funny enough, I mean, it just happens to be the Celtics, but I'm a green tea guy. You know, I drink a lot of green tea, so.
Of course. You know, my smoothies are green too. Get that kale on the spinach, but
hey, get it.
You know, I gotta say, brother, like before we get into it, you know, you talked about like KD, you know, as one of the best players in the league and how he kind of went out this series. I think on the flip side, Jason Tatum, league wide as a two-way player has really elevated his stock. That's the only Celtics thing I got right now. They've got another round. We've got a lot to talk to about the offseason for the Nets. Again, this is a team that came in with championship expectations. You know, your colleague Stefan Bondi, another good friend of mine, wrote that it underwhelmed the season like I think it was a 39-year-old hipster living in the basement or something. That was quite a line. I texted him on the side on that. That was hilarious. But Christian, you mentioned it, right? It, to me, two main things stuck out as sort of the demolition of the foundation of this team this season. Kyrie Irving and James Harden. Now, let's start with Kyrie. So first off, I'm told there were people around the Nets who assumed Kyrie would get vaccinated, but he didn't. Then there was the injuries to James Harden, who dealt with the hamstring injury, came in a camp out of shape. And you got the Kevin Durant injuries. And the Nets had few able bodies. And then they bring back Kyrie. And they scrap the whole continuity line of, you know, not having him in the beginning. That page went out the window the second they needed help. Missed time. He missed time this season because of the COVID vaccination policy. He was away from the team last season for personal reasons as well. He's been injured over the course of his career. Now, Kyrie Irving has a player option for this summer. And Kyrie Irving, after the game, said, "I don't really plan on going anywhere." So when you look at a possible extension for Kyrie Irving, he is eligible to re-sign with the Nets if he opts out of his player option for 5 years, $247.6 million, according to our Hoops Hype salary cap expert, Yosi Goslin. If he were to leave the Nets, theoretically, he can sign a 4-year, $183.6 million deal. He talked about being a distraction for the Nets this season and how they lost a franchise player in James Harden, but they got one back in Ben Simmons, but they didn't see him yet. He said that they have Ben's back and he's going to be good next season. This is also going to be fuel for him for the summer next season. Now, when you put all of that together and you have it in a pot of stew, I don't see any way Kyrie Irving leaves the Nets. One, there are teams around the league that would be, quite frankly, scared to acquire him because they don't know what they would get from him. He wants to be in Brooklyn. He wants to play for this franchise. You know, this was as much his dream, certainly, as Kevin Durant. Kyrie Irving's the one who grew up as a Nets fan. You know, with that in mind, Christian, the writing is on the wall. He and Kevin Durant came here together, and they want to continue that going forward. Certainly, Kyrie expressed that. Certainly, the sarcasm I've seen on Twitter from Celtics fans that go, yeah, you know, we've heard that too. Now, my question to you is, does, in your opinion, Kyrie Irving get one, opt out of his contract and get a max extension for the Nets? And two, if you're Sean Marks, do you do that? Because the guy hasn't been available to this point as much as you would like. And again, from my standpoint, I think he's coming back. I'm curious if it ends up being a full max extension. Does he align it to the same amount of years as Kevin Durant did? What do you think, brother?
You know, I think that this situation is going to be something that's really at the core of the upcoming collective bargaining agreement discussion soon, because it's such a tricky position for the Nets to have someone who's missed a significant amount of time. And it's not just the Nets who's going through this, right? There's a lot of teams with key players who are sitting out or missing time for reasons, and they still have to pay them this money over the course of the season. And now the Nets are tasked with finding some way to move forward with a guy who, I mean, we don't know on a year-to-year basis. I mean, last year he missed games because of the stuff with the Capitol, right? You know, it's anything can pop up and Kyrie Irving might miss games. And on top of that, he's been prone to injury as well. We've seen him go down in this time because of different knickknacks on his body. So these are all things they're going to have to take into account. But at the end of the day, what really factors into the entire picture is Kevin Durant's word. Does Kevin Durant want to play with him? I think the answer is yes. I think at the end of the day, this franchise is going to do what it takes to keep Kevin Durant happy, because you gave up all this stuff to put this whole piece together. When you talk about acquiring KD, getting James Harden and giving up the pieces to get him and then flipping him to get Ben Simmons and Andre Drummond. You got draft picks back in front of that and all that. That's great. But at the end of the day, this ship is going to go in the direction that Kevin Durant goes. And if that's what he wants, if he wants Kyrie here, I think the deal's going to get done. So, and on top of that, honestly, I think it's worth it. You know, Kyrie is spectacular when he's on the floor, right? And I think at this point now, we just know it's a roster construction thing. You have to have the right pieces around these guys to keep them on the floor against teams like Boston, against teams like Milwaukee. The roster needs to be rejiggered a little bit. And on top of that, I mean, they had a crazy season. I want to see what this looks like when everybody can be on the floor through a training camp, you know, into a regular season, build that chemistry, because it was clearly missing this year. I'd like to see what that looks like, especially if you're telling me Ben Simmons is part of that, and we'll get to that soon. But to answer your question, I think Kyrie ends up coming back here. But on a max, I'm not sure. Maybe we're looking at some type of incentive laden contract if that's something that they can figure out how to iron out.
You talking about you know what I wanted to see, Christian? I wanted to see what Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden could have been for a full season. I got 16 games. I didn't get enough. It's like I got a taste. It's kind of like, I don't know, having a left Twix without having the right Twix. How do you do that? It didn't make sense to me. I was, as a basketball fan, and especially in this like super team era, one day I think there's going to be like an ESPN 30 for 30 on this. And I mean, and mind you, this is the second time that Kevin Durant and James Harden were a part of a big three. The first in Oklahoma City with Russell right. Westbrook. And then you had now, and you know, a lot of people thought, oh, they were going to win together. And then they broke that up. You know, there was definitely an interesting breakup there. And then you have right. now with the Nets. Last year, when I looked at this team, last year was their best shot to win it. You had a motivated
yeah.
and in shape yeah. James Harden, number one. Number two, Kyrie Irving was having a 50-40-90 season, and Kevin Durant was healthy. Mm-hmm. The problem with Kevin Durant, he's got big feet that he stepped on a line, okay, uh-huh. and that cost him an extra point when it mattered against the Bucks. And then
if that shot would have went in, bro, I jumped out. No, if it would have been a three, I yeah. jumped out of my seat when that thing went in.
That was Rucker Park material. Mm. Now, the trio of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden will be arguably one of the greatest what ifs in NBA history. I think when you also factor in, you know, you could put in like what would have happened if Greg Oden stayed healthy, Brandon Roy, Derrick Rose,
right.
you know, I think it's right. on that level. And so here's the thing. Okay. Like Christian, from my standpoint, from people I've talked to within the Nets organization, several members felt James Harden came into camp out of shape, which you could have visibly sure. seen. And sure. he quit on the team. As the season went on, he particularly distanced himself from the team, and he visibly showed his disinterest by a lackadaisical defensive effort, and I'm putting that very nicely, against sure. the Sacramento Kings on February 2nd. It was a late night game on the West Coast. You know, I'm going to link this footage in the post on hoopshype.com. But also, it was not only that, privately, there was some concern over having to pay James Harden a max contract, given what the sure. back end of that could look like, and Harden earning around, I believe it's $60 million. Again, yeah. I'm not a salary cap guru. I've got my people that know those answers, but I believe it was $60 million. But
yeah.
if the Nets were going to be championship contenders and be in a position to win one, they'd make the money work. Joe Tsai is a billionaire. He'd figure it out. Now, Kevin Durant was asked after the game by Brian Mahoney, one of the best guys in the league, great people, sure. Great person sure. for the Associated Press. Sure. He asked him how he felt about the big three. And Kevin Durant said, no regrets. Shit happens. No crying over spilled milk. I don't know if this was – whole milk, 1%, 2%. But this milk was a pretty big deal. And Christian, coming in, they thought the big three was going to sign extensions, and they didn't. Kevin Durant Man. Was the only one that did. Like, I don't know if KD, like, there was a miscommunication. Something happened there behind the scenes. And Sean Marks, of all people, Sean Marks, I love Sean Marks, great guy, but Sean Marks is obviously very tight-lipped about a lot of things, the Nets organization yeah. in particular about injuries. But it was like cautiously, optimistically put out there that the big three would sign the extensions, and then that didn't happen. And not only did Harden not sign, Kyrie didn't sign it either. And, you know, then you get a little bit of the mixed reviews about, well, how are they feeling that he didn't get the vaccine and he's not there? And then it becomes a personal choice. Is it a political thing? There was a lot of
sure.
just James. Again, I don't know if it was like a volcano, an eruption, a tornado, how to like really describe his impact on the Nets. But like, man,
it was a hurricane.
That's what I got for you. That's my little rant and intel on James Harden. I mean, what's going through your mind watching him right now with the Philadelphia 76ers right now as they're playing Toronto, and also what could have been for the Brooklyn Nets if they had James Harden instead of Ben Simmons? Because at this point, Ben Simmons never suited up for the Nets this year after all. So man, would you have been better off with a disgruntled James Harden and trying to suck it up and figure it out, like what's going through your mind on that end and what you're seeing with him as a Philadelphia 76er? Because, by the way, I know it's a city of brotherly love, but it hasn't been all sunshine and rainbows over there either.
Hell no. Nah. That's not how it's supposed to be for a player who's not living up to what his name is. I mean, when you think of James Harden, we think about MVP version in Houston, right? Triple doubles every night, step back, get into the line, getting his teammates involved. And it just has appeared since the beginning of this year that he's trying to do more of getting his teammates involved than actually scoring for himself. And that's why I think he should have stayed in Brooklyn. I think he forced his way out too soon to a situation that directly needs him to score more. And he's just like, you look at what Joel Embiid said today. We need James to be more aggressive on his shot. Like, if he was in Brooklyn, he wouldn't necessarily need to be aggressive all the time because he's got Kevin Durant on one side, Kyrie Irving on the other. But at the time that he started forcing his way out, you had a part-time Kyrie and you had Kevin Durant go down with that MCL injury. That's why I think if Kyrie's, and some of this I think has to fall at the Nets' feet. I mean, if you tell me Kyrie Irving is part-time from the beginning of the season, I think that might change James Harden's mind on whether to leave so soon, right? If that's the case, if the large majority of this from basketball standpoint is him having to carry too much of a load, and now you're telling you had Kyrie Irving twice as often instead of just on the road, or instead of not at home, you have him playing road games from the beginning of the season, I think they hit a stride. I think they figure it out until Kyrie gets vaccinated, well, doesn't get vaccinated, until the mandate gets lifted for pro athletes in March. I think they find a way to make it work. And given what James wants to do, if James on the floor with Kevin and Kyrie directing traffic, we saw how it worked. He gets Nick Claxton involved. He's a lobster. Now you've got the ball in KD's hands half the possessions. You've got the ball in Kyrie's hands the other half of the possessions. That's not how it should be. Those guys need to be on the floor with another facilitator, playmaker type of guy, not named Bruce Brown, right? So it got tricky for them. And I think if James decides to stay in Brooklyn and just waits it out, we see what we saw last season, which was just a completely unguardable team. I mean, there was no answer for the Nets with Eric Pascal. We saw it. I went to Chicago and watched them put the absolute beats on the Bulls. And at that moment, I wrote, the championship contending Nets have arrived. And boy, we did not get that team this season. And it's unfortunate, man.
You know, yeah, I don't think that that headline you're going to hang up on your refrigerator. You know, James, like, here's the thing with James Harden, a couple things too. Christian, one, James Harden, when he hurt his hamstring, he was not the same player. The in and out crossover dribble, the step back was not as, prevalent, and it was slower. Yeah. It was concentrated like Tropicana orange juice. It didn't have as much rhythm. It had too much pulp. You know, so that had to be addressed. And then he wasn't getting to the rim as much. Then they changed the rules, which he was struggling mightily with in the beginning of the year. But one thing that was interesting about James Harden is when he first came to the Nets and, you know, he couldn't get his way to Philadelphia with Daryl Morey at the time. The Nets had Mike D'Antoni, one of his guys. James Harden tried it with D'Antoni. I didn't hear him having a problem there at that time last season. Then D'Antoni leaves. All of a sudden, there's a little bit more friction. And then he goes where? To Philly, where Daryl Morey was there. And who Daryl, I don't think, find you a significant other to support you as much as Daryl Morey has supported James Harden over his career. That's true love, man. Folks. That's true love.
It really is.
And so that's what stuck out to me about that. I just, you know, again, I think what could have been with this team with Harden this season, and then the fact that the big three, like, that had dynasty potential, even though Harden's not the same. He's not the same player. You can't tell me watching him even in Philadelphia. He is not the Houston James Harden. He's still a very good player.
Absolutely not.
But he's not that same guy. So instead, now the Nets make the trade for James Harden. They move James Harden, and then they get Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, a couple of picks. Now, let's go through the thinking here a little bit. Behind the scenes, part of the first of all, Ben Simmons was always going to be a part of this, right? If you're going to give up a star, 100%. you're getting an all-star guy back. Simmons is younger. The Nets thought by acquiring Simmons, they would extend their championship window a little bit, and he would help defensively, which they sorely need. In getting Seth Curry, this was twofold. One, at least as far as my understanding, as far as I'm told. One, they knew Joe Harris had a decent chance to be out for the rest of the season. Mind you, he was not ruled out until later on. They knew going in that Joe Harris could be ruled out for the season. Seth Curry was a hedge against that. Number two, going into the offseason, Seth Curry is insurance if you want to move Joe Harris, which we're going to get into a little later. But Andre Drummond was there to provide rebounding, which is another thing they desperately needed. And he did that for the most part in the regular season, the playoffs notwithstanding. Yeah. You know, he was tapping balls out like he thought he was Tyson Chandler. I don't know what was going on there. Nonetheless. And so that, you know, the draft picks, whatever, they're going to probably try to trade them anyway. Nobody cares about, you know, whatever, 2027. And by the way, sorry, Los Angeles Laker fans, because they're going to try to do the same thing too with those picks down the line.
100%.
So I'll throw out a little bit more intel on Ben Simmons, and then I want to turn it over to you. You know, a source close to Simmons told me that, you know, he's going through it right now mentally. But Ben will be back next season. Ben Simmons will come back next season. Source I spoke to close to Ben is very confident in that. Another source I spoke to has said that the Nets have been supportive at every turn when it comes to Ben Simmons, and that it's different comparatively than when Ben was in Philadelphia. So they are – the Nets, the organization is offering support and trying to do everything they can take care of him off the court mentally and on the court physically to get his back where it is. That's obviously with Ben an important thing given the way he felt during his exit in Philadelphia. Now, the vision – as I understand it from talking to people with Ben Simmons, is Ben Simmons is going to guard the other team's best player at any position 1 through 5. On offense, he'll have the ball in transition off of rebounds. He'll initiate the offense at times as a point guard. And he could also fill the Bruce Brown role on offense where he can attack off of double teams from Kevin Durant as a slasher and with a floater from inside the foul line. And maybe – a corner three-pointer on a rare occasion, almost like a leap year. That's how rare I'm talking about, but you never know. What were your thoughts? What now that, you know, hindsight's 2020, do you think the Nets made the right move in getting Ben Simmons, number one? And number two, what's your forecast for him looking ahead towards the offseason and next season, which is what we have to look forward to? You know, Steve Nash has talked about this guy as a cornerstone. Do you see that for him?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because we haven't seen the man play in a year. Last time we saw him play, he was playing in Atlanta, and we all know how that ended, right? So my vision and my image of Ben Simmons is so distant that I remember how he impacted the playoff series against the Nets. I mean, he was the best player on the floor by far. And like, well, behind Embiid. But he was, in terms of the impact he was having, it looked like he was the best player on that floor at times. And that just goes to show you what type of impact he can have when a game. But I mean, is that the same version of Ben Simmons that we're going to get, right? It's just another wild card, right? If you had Kyrie in the mix, sometimes you don't know what you're going to get with Kyrie. Well, what kind of Ben Simmons are you going to get? And that's where you start to feel a little uneasy, because how many different variables can you have when you really only have one goal, right? You need all these guys on the floor. To an extent, I think they'll be okay. I do like what Ben Simmons brings. You know, I actually spoke to Steve about this on the side. You know, the way Draymond plays, in many ways, you can compare that to the type of impact that Ben Simmons can have, except, you know, number one, Ben Simmons is just far more athletic than Draymond is. But it's interesting when you consider on one end, like, you're going to have Kevin on the other end, you're going to have Kyrie. You're definitely going to have a shooter, right? And then you're probably going to have a rim roller or something. That might be Clax on the floor with him. Unless they're running small ball and you put another shooter out there and you've got Ben at the five like you run Draymond sometimes. That I think it makes them so much more of a versatile team. They can play so many different ways, and I like that for them on both ends of the floor. Right now, you don't even have a guy except Bruce Brown that can grab a rebound, push it the full length of the floor, and finish at the rim. you know, now you add Ben, provided that he's healthy, he's going to be able to have that type of impact. And then just we saw, I mean, if you put him on Tatum, right, that changes the series right there. So it's interesting. It's just a matter of, A, what's the deal with his back? Can he, how, this isn't the first time he's had a back issue. I'm thinking about 2020. He had a stemming there. And then I believe he was talking about that in Philly at the beginning of the year when he was semi-reporting for training camp or whatever that was. So is the back going to be an issue? And if not, if you can keep him healthy on the floor and healthy in the head, I think it's a trade that the Nets actually win when you consider now you're seeing this version of Harden where he's clearly not who he was in Houston. And I don't know about you, but I'm not sure if he's ever going to get back to that point anytime soon.
I think that ship sailed like the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria back in the day. Ben Simmons, I mean, you know, here's the thing. I think James Harden was would have been a good fit for the Nets on the court if he had his head on straight and was in shape. But, you know, when he's going to play like that and not – it was a joke, you know.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I think the league has also got to kind of look at. It's like there's no way to address this in a rule, but it's like when guys have like 3 years on their deal and they're forcing their way out of places and it makes things interesting. But that's a conversation, you know, maybe I'll have an Adam Silver – who, by the way, was recently Adam Silver's birthday. Happy birthday, Adam.
Happy belated congrats.
But, we talk about Ben Simmons and what he could be as a point guard. They've got Kyrie Irving. Meanwhile, they've got a top 75 all-time point guard as their head coach at the moment. That's not me saying one way or the other. I don't know. Not yet. I don't know yet. I certainly don't think a sweep helps, but I'm not here to say that the man is going to get let go either, because Steve Nash has gotten certainly some support from Kevin Durant, which helps. But let's break this down. After the game, I forget who it was that asked, but someone asked him, Steve Nash, about his future, you know, for next season.
Yeah, and that was Brian Lewis with the New York Post.
Attaboy,
great
Brian.
Boy, great guy.
Listen, man, you know, yeah. I got to say, it was the questions were spread out nicely in the post game. But Brian Lewis then asked him, Steve Nash, about his future. And Steve Nash said, I've loved doing this. I love these guys. I love my staff. I love all the departments. I've had a great working environment. I want to continue doing it. I think Ben Simmons and Joe Harris will give us a big lift. Then he talked about, you know, how the rest of the roster will round out. He thinks they should be exciting and they get two of the top four guys back. Now, what was interesting to me following that, okay, so Steve Nash says he wants to come back. Cool. You've got two of your star players speaking after the game. Now, Kevin Durant was asked. I think Nick Friedell asked us. And Kevin Durant vouched for Steve Nash post game, and he almost said exactly what he said on April 8th. I'll link that video in the transcript on hoopshype.com. But he talked about Steve's been dealt a crazy hand over the past 2 years, injuries, COVID, the James Harden trade, Ben Simmons not being able to play. He gave him his support. Kyrie Irving. When Kyrie Irving hasn't mentioned Steve when given the opportunity. So Kyrie Irving, at one point, this was, I think, when he was on Kevin Durant's podcast, he said, I don't really see us having, this is earlier, this is before the season. I don't really see us having a head coach. And then Durant followed it up and called it like a collaborative effort. And he named Jacque Vaughn too. All right. Now, when Kyrie Irving said he planned to re-sign with the Nets, Kyrie Irving said, when I say I'm here with Kevin, I think it really entails us managing this franchise together alongside Joe and Sean. That's Joe Tsai and Sean Marks. Hello?
Oh, man.
Now, Kyrie Irving is not stupid. Kyrie Irving went to Duke. He's smart. He conveniently leaves out Steve Nash. He said before the year, it's a collaborative effort about having a head coach. Okay? Now, this season, Ime Udoka leaves. You know, they're kind of defensive coordinator. People are certainly giving him props. Your former assistant sweeps you in the first round of the playoffs. Mike D'Antoni leaves, Little Italy was very disappointed in this, but he leaves, and the offense differs a little bit. Certainly, the stuff with James Harden changed. So you've got Kevin Durant. You know, Kevin Durant has publicly backed him, and Kevin Durant wanted him from their time together with the Warriors. But Steve Nash was never brought here, and I think he's alluded to this. Steve Nash was not brought here to be the X's and O's guy. Steve Nash was brought here to be the manager of superstar personalities, as a guy that was a great point guard, dealt with the pressure, an NBA top 75 guy, and to deal with the media, which, for the most part, Steve's a nice guy. You know, gives good answers. Don't ask him about an injury. Other than that, you know, fits the part. He's a big name guy, but the X's and O's guys are as much the assistants. And he had that with Udoka and D'Antoni. I feel bad asking you this because I don't have the answer right now. You know, it's not something you. Unless somebody like has a really bad year and is getting fired after a season, you know, you kind of know it like right after a game. That wasn't the case here. So, you know, what do you think, Christian, is the future for Steve Nash? Like, let me put it this way. Let's start with this. Is Steve Nash going to be doing media availability with Sean Marks next to him at the end of the season media availability like they always do? Is that going to happen, you think? And two, what do you see long term?
So. Wait, say that one more time?
And two, what do you think long term, like next season? Think he's is he a coach? Is he on the hot seat? Is it warm? Is it lukewarm? What do you think?
Yeah, I think if it spirals out of control, maybe it has a quick hook, like a bad act, right? At a certain point, if he gets off to a start to a season, like say how David Blatt had, where maybe it was looking right on paper, but something was going on behind the scenes, or if it's just like it's spiraling out of control in the win-loss column from jump, maybe then we see the Nets make a move if Steve starts 2-12 or 2-14 or something crazy like that. But I, you know, number one with Kyrie, do you remember when he was asked in the press room, in the locker room, this is back when locker rooms were open, about just roster moves that maybe the Nets could make to improve the roster? And he started naming certain guys that were in the locker room. And the one guy that he left out in terms of like the core moving forward, funny enough, I'll never forget, that guy was Joe Harris. Kyrie didn't include Joe when he was listing off a couple of names of players that he felt were like, I guess, important moving forward. And look at the future. All the other guys have been dealt and Joe's the guy who stands. So I don't think, part of it, I don't really think is Kyrie, you know, actually omitting Steve on purpose. I think maybe it was just a slip. But when you kind of look at Steve and what's happened this year, I mean, it would really be unfair to judge Steve without considering everything that happened this season with the Nets roster. And we spoke about it. Kyrie being in and out of the lineup, the vaccine mandate, Kevin going down for a month and a half, James getting tight and asking out, right, getting back a player who's not even on the floor. You had COVID, you had 13 guys in the health and safety protocols at one point. It was crazy. And then you get Ben Simmons back and he never plays, right? And now you're trying to put, you know, Andre Drummond said it best. I love Andre. He keeps it real. He said, you know what? The second half of the season is going to be like playing pickup basketball. We just got to figure it out, right? And as we saw in the first round, pickup don't work against the Boston Celtics. That is a dub. So if you give them an entire season, you give them a whole training camp, you give them certainty as to who's on this roster, which is why I think, you know, you look at next year and you've got, if everything stands pat, if Ben Simmons ends up staying here, if Kyrie ends up signing an extension and not leaving, if Patty opts in, if he keeps that, you're probably going to end up losing Bruce. I think that's the natural person who you lose if you're incorporating Ben Simmons in, which means you probably end up keeping Claxton. You know, if you're entering next season with that core and plugging in pieces around you that make that team better, I think they need to obviously have another lead guard on the floor that takes a lot out of Kevin and Kyrie's hands. you know, someone like a Goran, but maybe can give you also that defensive. You know, one guy that I really like, and I'm not even sure that it's even feasible because of who the Nets would have to give up to get him. But if they were able to get somebody like a Malcolm Brogdon, who can come on the floor, who can hit penalties, who can defend multiple.
Another guy, another injury-prone guy, that's what they need.
That's unfortunate. An injury, right? You always got to consider that with some of these guys. Injuries really suck, man. I like Malcolm Brogdon as a player archetype. If you had somebody like him who could take the ball out of those guys' hands, hit threes, defend multiple positions, I think that's exactly what this team needs. But it's just tough to judge Steve on the season that kind of happened to him, right? He kind of just had to keep, and then he's got people like me asking him all types of crazy questions about Kyrie and getting vaccinated and all types of stuff. So I do think he ends up talking to us at the end of the season with Sean whenever they had that press conference. I think they end up actually going with him another year, right? And you got to see, I think at the end of the day, we still don't even really know what kind of coach we have. Right. I think you give him one more year to kind of like try to figure out how to put it together. And I think that's what's going to end up happening, man.
Say that last part again. I apologize. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I don't think you fire him. At least not right now.
Okay. You don't. Okay. We know what kind of coach Steve, do we know what kind of coach Steve Nash is? I will say this. I was banging the table for Blake Griffin to come in earlier than game three. Because Grant Williams, had plenty of pounds on Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, you know, haha, Kevin Durant at center. That's cool in a 2K lineup, not in the NBA in reality, you know. And then you got like Bruce Brown at the four, like that's cute. But then, you know, I don't know. You say like you can't judge somebody on the season, fine, but it's also like, you know, they had such a rough stretch where they had that, I forget, it was over a 10-game losing streak. Like, other coaches around the league, like, don't survive that, especially one on a championship team. With, you know, reasonable variables or not, I don't want to call them excuses. Like, the injuries they had were absurd. Like, it was almost like watching the Long Island Nets at one point. I'll give you that. No offense.
Yeah.
No offense. No offense. And we all know what that means. You know, when you're like, oh, we don't know what it is, and you got to give them the benefit of that. The flip side of that is like, Christian, like if you've got a story to file and your computer like is frozen, you got to figure it out. Your deadline's your deadline.
I got to pick up my phone.
That's what I'm saying. You got to figure it out as a coach. Now, you touched on Kyrie. And you mentioned that, and I forgot about that, but you're right. He did leave out Joe, who was his teammate in Cleveland, by the way. And by the way, at that time, you know, Joe had a lot of things going on. Joe had a handlebar mustache. If you don't believe me, look it up. When he was in Cleveland at one point. But now, and Steve Nash talked about it. Next season, Brooklyn's depth will improve if Ben Simmons and Joe Harris make healthy returns to the team. And I'm going to say if, because I don't take anything for granted with this team. Okay.
Right. 100%.
You know. With that said, all right. Let's see where I want to start this. Okay. I caught up with Joe Harris after the game. It was kind of easy to get to do that. He was leaving the arena with a boot and crutches. It's not like he was going to outrun me.
Jesus Christ!
But it was great to see Joe, one of the best people in the league. He told me he's feeling good. He's in good spirits. He's attacking his rehab one day at a time. He's on track to return for the start of next season. You know, fingers crossed for Joe, obviously. You know, having to get a second
great
ankle
guy,
surgery,
man.
Stinks. But so now, regarding Joe, Joe's name obviously came up in trade talks. And after acquiring Seth Curry in the James Harden trade, the Nets kept tabs on several athletic wing defenders, including Mavericks forward Dorian Finney-Smith. This was before he signed his extension. And Utah Jazz swingman Royce O'Neal. Now,
oh man,
they also
– either one of them.
Well, there's more tea now. You know, they also – Harris also came up in brief trade talks. I would define it more as like kicking the tires. I wouldn't, you know – over say like they got in depth, but it was with the Celtics for Marcus Smart before Boston traded away Dennis Schroeder and made Smart their full-time point guard earlier in the season. Now, the Nets have always been fond of Smart. And Boston at the time, you know, was kicking around the idea of, you know, whether they would be better building, you know, adding a shooter. And Smart's name always comes up in trade talks because he's one of their better players. You know, Smart went on to win Defensive Player of the Year, something the Nets desperately needed. Now, regarding Dorian Finney-Smith, I mean, we'll get into that later. There's like a Nick Claxton piece there. I'll get into that. But my point with Joe is that, you know, Joe's name came up in trade talks from other teams, you know, checking in on him to see if they can get him, looking ahead for the future. And I think he's a guy that certainly is a piece that the Nets could move if they want to upgrade this team. I don't know if they're going to see him and Seth Curry as a duplicate and want to have more shooting or try to move one of those two to get that athletic wing defender, which they desperately need. Like I said, I'll get into it more on the Dorian Finney-Smith stuff, but you kind of alluded to it, that they needed those guys. Any one of them would have been fine. I think that's something they're going to look to upgrade in the offseason. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, Dorian Finney-Smith has always been on my like wish list of guys I wish could be Nets. You know, just that rugged, tough, versatile four-man who can also space the floor. You know, like, almost like imagine if this team had PJ Tucker, you know, that would be amazing. You need that dog on the roster. And they tried to fill that role with DeAndre Bembry a little bit. They tried to fill it with James Johnson, you know, and ended up going to Bruce for a lot of that the minutes at that role. But I mean, you need a guy that's bigger. Bruce isn't big enough, right? Bruce is 6'3", 6'4", on a good day, right? Doesn't have that size. And we saw that. We saw that lack of size against going to Celtics team where Grant Williams was basically the biggest guy out there at times and still having his way. It was just amazing to see. And that's what they need. They need some size. That's why I brought up a guy like Brogdon, because I think he has that size at that position that you need. You need guys like that. If they were able to get Royce O'Neal, that's one of my favorite guys at that position too. You know,
yeah,
like
but, athletic. But you might have to give up Joe Harris to do that now.
Yeah.
You know, like you got to give to get.
Exactly.
So that's the flip side of that.
Yeah, and it's tough, right? Because you do have to give to get. But at the same time, if you know that Joe is out for the season, right, do you kind of punt in a way if you don't get something? Like, yeah, you got Seth Curry, and Seth Curry's face is the floor, but he doesn't have that size that you need. People call Joe a bad defender, and I'm not calling him a great defender by any stretch, but he's got size out there on the floor, you know, and sometimes that's what you need as well. So hopefully they find a way to address that in this offseason. That's going to be a key part of them. They need like a real life 3-and-D wing, you know? They can't have what they have right now.
And you talked about Dorian Finney-Smith being on your wish list. You know who I think the Nets wish they would have had? Jeff Green.
Yeah. Oh, man. Don't get me started.
And let me get into you on that now. You know, there was this thing about the Nets. Oh, they let Jeff Green go and you know, they went for Patty Mills instead. The Nets at the time, you know, I think Jeff was coming off certainly more than the minimum. I think Jeff was making around like $5 million. So the Nets wanted to give Jeff Green the minimum. That wasn't going to fly. And then he went to Denver and he got a similar deal that he had with the Nets previously. Now, part of that is also like, well, you could have had Jeff with Patty Mills in an ideal world, but that wasn't going to be. Patty Mills has got a player option. I don't know what he's going to do there. He's pretty appropriately valued, in my opinion. I don't know what he's going to do with that. Time's going to tell on that.
I think he stays, especially if Ben is staying, if we're considering Ben as actually staying here in the future. I think Patty stays and plays with his man, because everything Patty said about Ben has been, you know, in support of. And I think as crazy as the season was for him, I know he didn't shoot well, especially towards the end. He wasn't supposed to be leaned on as much this season. And I think if they really fill this roster up, they need to, and put Patty where he's supposed to be, I think he stays and he enjoys it. I think he breaks out next year, to be honest.
And now, not only do you have Patty Mills' player option, but then the Nets have their own free agents they got to worry about in the offseason. So you've got Bruce Brown, Andre Drummond, Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, Nicholas Claxton, Goran Dragic. They got a team option on Kessler Edwards. All right, let's start with Bruce Brown. First of all, Bruce Brown last year when he was asked about being a free agent was very excited about the possibility of coming back, made it demonstratively clear. And this time it was, yeah, hopefully, but I'm not thinking too much about it. If there's a chance to stay, then we'll talk about it. We'll see. Sounds like Bruce is trying to get the bag and let other teams know, hey, you can pay me. You know, I think his value is going to be interesting. You know, does he get more than the non-taxpayer mid-level and go above $10 million? If so, that's going to be interesting. You kind of alluded to him possibly being gone and having Ben Simmons fill that role. I don't know if you could bank on that. You know, in the beginning of the year, he wasn't a fixture of the rotation, which shocked me. You know, I know Steve Nash was trying different things and whatnot, but I never understood Bruce Brown being out of the rotation. Him getting a corner three-pointer is going to help his value on the free agent market. What do you think happens for him?
I mean, it's tough because in my mind, I'm also considering that you're probably going to have to pay Nick Claxton. And if you're going to have to pay Nick Claxton and you've got Ben, and I don't know how you can pay, I mean, I guess you can play Ben and Bruce on the floor at the same time, but I wouldn't look forward to seeing too many of those minutes, because if I'm thinking about Ben, I want to have as many legitimate shooters around the floor. And yes, I know that Bruce has had a breakout season from three-point range. Part of me still wants to see it, you know, under duress in a way. You know, we see Bruce shoot a lot of wide open threes because this year defenders didn't really respect his 3-point shot, right? We saw them starting to respect it a little bit at the end of the season, but I'm sure I could go look up the numbers. You know what? That'll be a good exercise. I'll look up those numbers tomorrow. I wonder what percentage of his threes were wide open, because a lot of them were just uncontested corner threes. And yeah, sure, he's got to be able to make those, but for his value to really be substantial, you know, I think he's got to be able to hit some of those above the break threes, and some of them he's going to have to find a way to shoot with a hand in his face. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. However, you know, I think he's made enough strides to where he can play that role, but at the same time, he's played such a hybrid role, you know, like he's a small big in many ways, right? He's only now recently turning into like a 3-and-D kind of guy spacing it from the floor, but we've seen him thrive setting screens, rolling, and then making decisions out of that short role. And that's a pretty unique need for a guy at his size. So I'm just wondering how many teams really would like actually want to weave that into their game plan as well. So it'll be interesting to see what his value is across the league. But at the same time, I don't know how you, like, do you put him and Ben on the floor at the same time? Can you do that for extended periods of time? I guess if you've got him and Kevin and Kyrie, they can play so many different ways that it gets crazy. So, you know, I'm not sure. If I had to bet, I'd say he's gone. I think somebody's going to give him some money.
Interesting. I haven't dug deep on that yet. I will close to free agency on guys like Bruce, Nick Claxton. You know, and obviously, folks, you can check out where they rank on our Hoopsite 2022 free agent rankings, which we recently published. Also, my colleague Yossi Goslin, who I referenced before, has an off-season preview up. He had that going literally up on the site after the Nets lost. Talk about having some foresight. But you touched on Nick Claxton. And Nicholas Claxton was mentioned in trade talks close to the deadline as well. When the Nets were targeting that wing help, there was a belief that the Nets could have gotten a first-round pick as part of a trade package for Nick Claxton from Toronto at the deadline. But the Raptors went with Thaddeus Young instead. I'm told that first round pick would have potentially been dangled as part of a trade package for Dorian Finney-Smith. I'm not sure what the play, and this was before Dorian Finney-Smith signed his extension. I'm not sure who the other player would have been, because, you know, they would have had to put more than just a first round pick for Dorian. That's how much Dallas valued him. Clearly they extended him. So a little bit of tea, for everybody listening, but,
yes,
Nick went from a guy that was on the outs at the deadline, seemingly, to a guy that, I think they're going to have to really consider keeping. You know, you've got Him being restricted obviously is going to help them. You know, Mitchell Robinson is going to be unrestricted. And I did touch on that on Hoopsite that he's worth around 12 to 13 million for most executives. Could he hit 15? Maybe. But him being unrestricted is going to help his case. You got a restricted guy like Nick Claxton. You got Mo Bamba. Younger guys, but they're restricted. You have to pay more to try to pry them away. The importance of keeping Nick, I think, is magnified because Andre Drummond is unrestricted. Blake Griffin is unrestricted. LaMarcus Aldridge is unrestricted. By the way, folks, to the average fan, you may not know this, but all three of those guys, Drummond, Griffin, and Aldridge, are represented by XL Sports. I'd like to know how they all felt when Steve Nash wasn't playing really any of those guys as much in the playoffs when you're trying to get a new deal. You know, Blake, I think at this point, is a minimum guy in his career, but I definitely think he's got another year in him at the minimum for next season for sure. LaMarcus Aldridge was good for the Nets earlier this season, a mid-range assassin. His player efficiency rating was through the roof in the very beginning. Then he got hurt. You know, he had to sit out games. Obviously not a great pick and roll, pick and pop defender. But, you know, Drummond showed he could play as well. For the Nets, he had some good numbers at the end of the regular season as their starter. You know, he's backing up Joel Embiid. Christian, when you look at Nicholas Claxton, that front court quartet, Nicholas Claxton, Andre Drummond, Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, are they back with the Nets? Who stays? Who goes?
Man, I think it's the Nets extending Claxton and making him their center in the future. And then I honestly think Blake is gone. LaMarcus is absolutely gone. And Andre, I think, is going to get money from elsewhere because he played so well in such a short spurt with the Nets before he got to the playoffs and, you know, Steve had to play Nick. I think teams are going to remember how dominant of a rebounder he's been, how dominant of a paint presence and a lob threat he's been. You know, he might not be the starter. He could be a team's backup big, or he could be a – he proved that he could start. It just depends on what your defensive philosophy is. If you have him dropping instead of switching out with him, it could be a different story. So, you know, I think the Nets, you know, in a couple of ways, have no choice but to build around Nick. I mean, number one, he's – as versatile. But I mean, I know Jason Tatum gave him the business on those isolations, but I mean, the fact that he's still keeping up with Tatum shows you just how versatile he is at his size. And he can do that to anybody. He's a versatile five who is getting better every year. He's getting bigger, stronger, right? We can see that in his frame. But that, he missed 10 free throws today, Mike. You saw it. I saw it. If he makes a few of those, this game maybe swings a different way. Who knows, right? Free throws, as we've seen, is going to be key for him. I mean, shooting 1 for 11 is just atrocious, you know. So he's going to have to work on that. But at the end of the day, I think you've got Nick Claxton, and I like that type of lineup. You got Claxton, Simmons, Kyrie, Kevin, and a shooter, be it Seth or Joe, on the floor. That's a good lineup, in my opinion. So yeah, I think they keep Claxton. I think you see Dayron play more minutes next year, if he's on the team, unless they trade him in a package. Who knows? And then they're going to have to go find somebody in free agency for sure, because I think the rest of those guys are gone.
Nick Claxton couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat from the foul line in game four. But, you know, I definitely think he'll work on his free throws. He's got to bulk up, but he's got a lot of raw athletic ability. And I remember his dad, when I was covering the Nets for The Athletic, his dad told me he was going to be an all-star one day. So we'll see if he's as prophetic as LaVar Ball was. I think Nick Claxton, the Nets are in the driver's seat there. Drummond, a little certainly less certain that he'll be back. I think Blake Griffin has a shot to come back because I know Kevin Durant values him. Time will tell how he feels, but, you know, and look, LaMarcus Aldridge had great ties with Kevin Durant as well from the Texas ties at the university. I don't know if this is it for LaMarcus Aldridge. I really would have loved to have been able to ask him that as, you know, if we get any end of the season player media availability, you know. But speaking of an older guy, Goran Dragic said that he loves basketball and he still wants to play another 2 to 3 years. I thought that was interesting. You know, Steve Nash is his guy. So you would think that they have dibs. But if Steve Nash, and I had reported this previously on Hoops Hype, but for those who may have missed it, if Steve Nash did not heavily recruit him to the Nets and they didn't have as strong a bond, Goran Dragic was going to pick between the Los Angeles Clippers and the Milwaukee Bucks. It was going to be one of those two teams. Curious if you think he's back. Kessler Edwards has a team option. I think the team brings back Kessler Edwards. They like him. They need young guys on cheap deals to fill out the back end of the roster. And I think he stays as a 3-and-D guy. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. You know, Goran, I actually asked him whether he was going to consider staying here when he gave that answer. And it was just interesting because I'd like to think that he's a guy who could probably get more than the minimum. But if the Nets are going to bring him back, it's probably on the minimum. Or I don't know if they give him part of the mid-level. I think they need to keep that mid-level hole and try to get somebody to fill that 3-and-D wing role that we talked about. So I'm not sure what the financial situation is for him. I was hoping he would go in. I probably could ask him as a follow-up what matters more to him, money or situation, but I feel like he probably would have gave the same answers so soon after a game to even be talking about or thinking about that type of thing. But it'd be nice if he came back. I mean, we saw him go off for certain spurts in these playoffs, and then that's needed him every second he was out there. But when you look at the rest of these guys, I mean, number one, I don't think LaMarcus is, I think he has another year left in the tank. I think we saw from him earlier this year just an ability to score. He, watching him practice that mid-range jump shot every other day, like I have been able to do this summer, I mean, this season, he does not miss. I mean, he is a master of that mid-range jump shot, and I think he wants to put it on display one more time. I think he wanted to play in these playoffs, and he didn't get a chance to. You know, I think he still has something to prove to himself, at least that he can still perform after all he's been through. So I think we see him come back another year, and maybe he'll retire after next year. But Kessler, I mean, that he can play. That's what we've seen him defend. So I remember going to San Francisco and watching him chase Steph Curry around screens, you know, and keep up with him. And you just see his size and speed and athleticism on display. And the biggest thing for him now is just being consistent from three. If he can hit that three ball, if he can get up to being a 40% shooter season over season, I think he can play in this league for 15 years. You know, that's the type of player he is. He's athletic. Every team needs somebody like him. So, yeah, I like Kessler a lot. I think he's going to become a bigger part of the rotation because he fits kind of the mold of that guy that we were talking about. Maybe he's not as big. He doesn't have the same size as the Dorian Finney-Smith, right? And Royce O'Neal kind of looks like he has that grown man strength. You need another guy like that. But in terms of actually being that 3-and-D threat on the floor, I could see him getting some more significant minutes next season as well.
Well, time will tell on that, brother. But I think we've done a better job of we've done a good job of covering the Nets about an hour. We put as much coverage into this. I would say more so than the Nets did defensively against the Celtics. Oh!
Too soon, Scotto.
It's all right. I know. Listen, all you know this. I know plenty of people with that organization, top to bottom. They know it's I got to speak the truth. They know it. No excuses. They know it. But I'm looking forward to the off season. I'm looking forward to reporting on these guys. I'm looking forward to reading your stuff on these guys. And you and I will see each other the next time they have media availability with Sean and the head coach, if it's Steve Nash. No, I'm just kidding. You know, you got to say it because, you know, we don't know yet. We'll see. I think he's
– We know.
We'll see. We'll see, Sean. We'll see. I'll see you there. But it was a lot of fun, brother. A lot to get into. You know, you like your green tea. This was like the matcha. This was a lot. You know,
it was. But I mean, lucky to have you to break it down with, my man. This is fun. We gotta have me on there again when they put this thing together and see what they got.
Oh, I'm sure they're gonna have plenty of stuff to talk about in the summer. So we'll see if that happens. But hopefully so. Appreciate you joining me, as a Christian. Thanks, brother.
My man. Thanks for having me, bro. Anytime.
I also want to thank everyone else for tuning in. If you want to hear more episodes of the Hoops High Podcast with guest appearances from NBA players, coaches, executives, and media members, you can like and subscribe to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. You can also keep up with my tweets on Twitter, at Mike A. Scotto. Make sure you're following Christian, too. He's at Chris Plasha. That's K-R-I-S-P-L-A-S-H-E-D. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Scotto, wishing you and yours all the best.